Good day, nerds. Welcome to episode 200 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap this week's nerd news. We're going to jump into entertainment with a quick review on the latest in the Harry Potter franchise. Then we'll discuss the legal drama of Ezra Miller, a Netflix update, and then jump into some tech with a MetaMask hack, a metaverse company, updates to Twitter, and space news. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds. Nerds!
All right, and we have somehow made it here to episode 200.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the most uneventful weeks in news we've had in 3 years.
It really is. There wasn't much big, heavy, hidden news. So instead of talking about news, we're just going to celebrate ourselves for 1 hour here. So
yay,
buckle in
me,
as we just pat ourselves on the back. No, none of that.
I will say, it's been a long grind. It's been a long grind. I mean, it is a tiny little show we do here. We've kind of got it running almost on autopilot between, you know, the two of us, but it's still it's hard to set these times up and get these recordings in. I don't want anybody to act like we don't have alternate lives going on. Like, it is very stressful at times, and it is work. Let's put it like that.
I do want to say the person who said that it's autopilot is the one who just shows up and talks, and I'm the one who does all the audio editing and posting.
You volunteered for that episode one, bro. Episode one, you signed up.
Yeah, that's fine. I just want to make sure that is captured in this lack of autopilot that we have here. Anyway,
I have to. Yeah, it's constantly fun. Work to be me. So that's just how it is.
But you know, I'll take this one time on episode 200 here to just say up front, because you brought it to my attention last time that you can give ratings in Spotify. And it just deeply disappoints me that we're going to episode 200 and you can't even see our rating because not enough people have rated us.
Like,
I didn't even know it was a thing.
It's a new thing. Yeah. Though. It's a new thing.
Most podcasts I've looked at don't have a rating yet, but I want one.
Like, I know.
don't care what it is, but I don't want to see that little disclaimer that says not enough people have rated this show yet.
I know. I'm going to spam. I'm going to spam the group and just be like, I don't even care if you listen. I'm not even asking you to hit play. Just hit that goddamn rate button. It takes you 30 seconds. 30 seconds. We got like 1,300 people in the goddamn Nerd Cantina group. Like, someone pound that button.
Yeah, so that's the ask is, if you're listening to this, celebrate 200 by just hitting a couple stars on that thing.
I'm going to get on the social medias tomorrow and see what the interwebs can do for us.
All right, now let's get into some news. Hey, first, you saw a movie.
Yeah, as usual, a nerd movie comes out.
I wanted to see it. Yeah, I really wanted to see it. My schedule's all screwed up, so I missed it. I think I'm going to see it this weekend.
My one-word review, don't.
Oh, no.
it was bad. It was,
really? All right.
It was.
Let's hear it.
It was not.
Well, first,
not good.
He's talking about Harry Potter.
Yeah. We should put that out there and let everyone know what movie actually came out in case you're not in the know. But The Secrets of Dumbledore, the third, you know, installment of the Harry Potter prequel, it just fell flat for me. Like, I'm sure there's somebody with a fucking expensive scarf out there right now really fucking mad at me, but I really don't give a shit, bro. Like, this was not a good movie. Mads Mikkelsen, who's been good in other movies, he was trash in this movie.
Oh, really?
Like he knew this was somebody else's role. You know, like for those that don't know, I'm sure we talked about it years ago when it happened, but Johnny Depp lost the role because of his divorce with Amber Heard and the abuse allegations and everything that's going on with that. We're not a gossip column, so we kind of stay away from those stories. But this was a role that Depp lost, and I really think Mikkelsen just phoned it in because he just, like, I wasn't your first choice. I'm just kind of saving this franchise. They threw a pile of money at me. You know, I don't know if, because, you know, another thing that happened with this movie is they cut out a large chunk of, like, the homosexual relationship between, you know, Dumbledore and Grindelwald for China. So I don't know if they wanted to downplay the relationship throughout the movie to make it easier to edit for a Chinese market. But there was zero chemistry between the two characters. Like, they were supposed to be former lovers. They had the blood pact spell. Like, and it just, they did not go well together at all. You couldn't, like, there's no way point in the movie where I believed that they were ever, like, that they ever gave a shit about each other.
You know?
And not really on Jude Law's end. I think Jude Law did a pretty good job. But, like, man, it just did not work well. And, I mean, the story, the way they took it was okay. You know, new characters they brought in, old characters that they kept. You know, it kind of played all right. But having the main villain get switched like that and just lay a giant turd on the stage didn't help that movie at all. Like, I was in shock, like, how disappointed I was in seeing this movie. I'm not like a big pothead. Well, potter head.
I was gonna say, hold on a second.
But I do enjoy them. I just watched the entire run, the entire Harry Potter series with my daughter. You know, I'm looking forward to starting this series so she can keep going. But yeah, it was bad, man. Real bad.
That's unfortunate. I recently just watched the Fantastic, you know, the first two in the Fantastic Beasts
series. We did a family Halloween theme.
Yeah.
We did Harry Potter. Like, we pottered it up that fucking year.
Yeah, so that's unfortunate that you don't think it's that good. I still might end up seeing it. We'll see.
It for me, like, just Mikkelsen left his stench all over that movie. It was bad. Like there's, you know, some of the magic scenes were good. Ezra Miller was meh in it. Like, we'll get to him in a minute, but he was like okay, and you know, the revelations with his character and stuff. It was an all right story, but yeah, I could have cared less about being in that room. It was bad.
All right. Well, maybe we'll get some debate out there in the Cantina land. But normally your reviews are pretty spot on to the general consensus. Yeah,
you haven't seen this yet and you still want to go see it. Expecto big dump'em, okay, motherfuckers? Because it's not good.
All right. We don't have to spend any more time on it. Let's jump into Ezra Miller. Our our little wizard friend there, and the Flash, and man, Ezra has found himself in something here.
You know,
huh?
He gets arrested 1 week. We don't talk about it. It's like not a big deal.
We didn't even talk about it. Man, we let it come and go. Like why hit on DC when you don't need to? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
we try not to punch down in this show. You know. But this, he gets arrested twice in 2 weeks. Like, I don't understand. Both times in Hawaii, I don't understand how this island hasn't just thrown him off yet. Like, bro, like, you gotta go. You just bounce his ass off. But, like, what is going on with this dude? He is just, like, smacking people. Like, this latest arrest, he was at a private residence. They asked him to leave. Like, hey, okay, Ezra, like, it's time to go, buddy. Like, time to go home. Call an Uber or something. And he said no, threw a chair, hit a lady in the forehead. Like, you know how hard you got to throw a chair to hit someone in the forehead? like the things had some arc, you know what I'm saying? They said she had like about a half inch gash. She refused treatment, so it couldn't have been like too bad. But,
yeah.
But either way,
it's called assault.
Yeah. you know, I just, this dude, you know, is wrapping up a franchise that he was, a pretty big character in. He's got, you know, like, you don't fuck up those Marvel and DC roles, bro. Like, those are the moneymakers.
He's still getting his own movie from DC.
No, I think I'm pretty sure he's out. Like, they put it on hiatus after the first arrest, and rumors are already swirling that they're just going to tap into the kid from the TV show and just replace him. And give him the old Cheadle treatment.
Absolutely awesome.
I would love it.
I mean, I absolutely like that Barry Allen better, but yeah, that, I mean, But that's what I'm saying. Like, you still had your own movie coming your way. You were still the franchise guy until you just went off the rails here. I don't know.
And like, okay, after the first arrest, you're sitting in jail. Like, you know, you got to come to a sobering moment and be like, all right, I can't fuck this up. Right. So you get out, your publicist, your agent, you make all the phone calls you got to make, you smooth all the fucking right people, you do the whole dance. And then the next week you just throw in chairs. Like, of course, you know, they're going to spin this and do some big campaign. I mean, mark my words, 1 week from now, he's in rehab.
Oh, 100%. He's in a nice Hawaii beachfront rehab. And in a couple of days, he's going to go get the help he needs.
Yep.
He's going to make apologies.
And we should all feel sorry for poor Ezra Miller.
But in the meantime, like, you lost your job and you probably should lose your job.
Well, we just talked about, like, Depp lost it over, like, divorce allegations. Like motherfuckers don't be fighting when you're stuck living with someone you hate. You know what I'm saying? They just threw him off the motherfucking big ass franchise mid trilogy, and they didn't give a shit. Like, you think they're just gonna let Ezra Miller walk around smacking motherfuckers and throwing chairs at people? In his first arrest, like, they got this couple that he ended up assaulting on the first one, they got a restraining order against him. How weird is that you got to get a restraining order against a celebrity? The celebrity won't leave me alone. What kind of backassward shit is that? Like, and after he smacked him, I guess he like broke in their hotel or their wherever they were staying after the first one. He stole their passports and social security cards and like what are
and the
you, like
the police the assistant chief of police and wherever they are in Hawaii apparently said that he's been the source of 10 different police calls since March 7th.
Yeah, he's only got arrested for two. Like, I guess he's terrorizing the island. Like besides the two arrests, this isn't he's on like a tangent right now. And somewhere out there, like, Shia LaBeouf is going, hold my beer. I just fucking know it. Like, Shia LaBeouf and who's the crazy Nickelodeon chick too? Amber Bynes, right? Is that the other nut, the nutty one? Amanda Bynes.
Oh, I know.
Amanda Bynes.
Pick any child star. Amanda
Bynes, Shia LaBeouf, and Ezra Miller walk into a bar. Yeah, this is just messed up. Like, talk about burning your lottery ticket. Like, that's, you know, and now, you know, DC once again just has to try to pick up the scraps of this fucking shit universe that they keep trying to build.
Yeah, I mean, in the end, like, it's DC. They'll make up some excuse. Honestly, the fans have been asking for a Flash swap anyway. So, like, they'll just do a quick little montage. Ezra's gonna, you know, speed run his way through the metaverse, and out comes the other side is gonna be I don't know the other actor's name, but yeah, the Flash TV series Barry Allen's gonna come out, and then people will clap and it'll be fine.
Yeah, I just at what point are you just in like a WB board meeting going, can we fucking get a win? Can we catch a fucking break here?
Well, let's leave Ezra alone here. Well, he goes and gets the help that he needs. And let's talk about last little piece in some entertainment. And that's that we get a pretty big dip in Netflix share price that just took place. Because for the first time in a decade, Netflix reported a reduction in subscriber count over a quarterly period.
I mean, it has to happen at some point, right?
Like, right? But still, it's still a 25% stock hit because they lost 200,000 subscribers.
Because they didn't gain the estimated 12 million. Like, instead, they lost 200,000. I mean, like...
Yeah. So now, it is funny. Like, they have 221 million subscribers. They lost 200,000, and it caused a 25% decrease in in their shareholders. Like, I get it. Like,
where's the big red button that makes my sirens go off that say buy the dip?
I think that the correction might be a little harsh. Maybe it is an indicator that Netflix is going to slowly start losing market share in the streaming wars. Like, yeah, that has to happen eventually. Like, they can't go up always. They can't, like, are there really people in the world that are just finding out about Netflix now and joining? Like, no, Netflix has made their case for years on why people and should have accounts.
When you're the king of streaming, like, at some point, you gotta just, you peak, man. Like, it doesn't mean you're unsuccessful. Like, I pulled it up just so I could see the numbers. Like, their fourth quarter profit, okay? Yeah. Like, not total revenue. In a quarter of the year, they profited $1.5 billion, down from $1.7. So it's like it's such a fucked up mindset.
Meanwhile, other tech sector companies have yet to post a profit, and their stocks can still go up, right? you know, it's the whole, yeah.
That's what's so fucked up to me is like,
not actual profits.
Like, what fucking Monopoly villain is sitting in a Netflix shareholder meeting with a monocle and a fucking cigar going, we lost 200 million. Like, why aren't we growing? Like, what fucking, what there will be blood motherfucker is sitting in that fucking board meeting mad that they only profited $1.5 billion in a 3-month portion of the fucking year? Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I don't think it's probably... Yeah, there probably is people in the boardroom freaking out over it. Like there probably is. Like, I would say the shareholders don't necessarily represent what the people in the board are
100% saying,
but yeah, you're right. It's just a matter of, like, you know, this is everybody just panic selling that, okay, it's 200,000 this quarter, and then it's going to be another 200,000 next quarter, and then it's going to be this, you know, precipitous drop as it's just slowly bleed and they lose market share as HBO Max, Apple TV Plus, and all these other ones.
And God forbid, you only make $1 billion a year, or $4 billion a year. Like, God forbid you are part of a company that could only make a measly $4 billion a year profit. Like, what the fuck? Like, I just can't wrap my head around that goddamn mindset of just the crazy end of capitalism that gets that has you mad at a $4 billion profit. Like, we have so many streaming options now, so many different outlets. Like, everything's going to kind of level off, and you know, people are going to pick and choose what they want. When you're number one, they're coming after you, right? Like, every Disney Plus, every HBO, every Hulu, they're coming after Netflix subscribers. That's the only place they can go. You know what I'm saying? So I can't feel bad for Netflix. I feel bad for the dude who bought Netflix stock yesterday.
You know who I feel bad for? Me. Because at this point in time, now I have to be concerned as they're losing subscribers. Are they going to finally start looking at IP addresses on these accounts and people who log in?
No.
Are they going to start going after password sharing?
Nope. Like, that's not even it. Know what it is? Commercials.
No.
We about to get commercials.
No, they won't. I think they'll...
So the model that I don't necessarily mind all the time is every once in a while, Hulu... I pay for the no commercial Hulu. Every once in a while, Hulu's just like, hey, bro, sorry, we got to do it to you. If you want to watch the show, we got to give you a commercial. And they do a commercial before the show and one commercial after the show. No commercials in the middle. You slide those in on me to level off a little bit of the subscription fees and we don't keep hiking it up to where I'm paying $25 a month for some fucking Netflix. I'll eat that one. I'll eat that one. I'm not going to like it knowing that they pull $1.5 billion every 3 fucking months. But like, if that's going to stop you from canceling shows like the OA and other shit that I really enjoyed because it's not fucking Stranger Things or fucking Ozarks, like, man, okay, I'll take a 30-second commercial at the beginning of the show. I'll eat it. As soon as the show's over, you know I ain't watching that end one. I don't know why they put one at the end. Who the fuck stays through the credits to catch that goddamn Hulu commercial at the end? You're a fucking sadistic motherfucker. I don't even want to know you. But, like, I'll take that 30-second one at the beginning.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Either way, yeah, if you bought Netflix stock yesterday, I feel bad for you. If not,
buy it tomorrow.
We'll see where it goes.
You might make a little bit of profit. This is not financial advice.
No, not one bit. let's go ahead and jump into some tech here. And first one, just get our crypto and NFT talk out of the way, as we always do. not much, but I just wanted, this is a PSA in the sense that if you have partaken in crypto or NFTs and you have a MetaMask and you have an iPhone that you use MetaMask Mobile on, just know that MetaMask even put it out on a tweet in official communication that if you have MetaMask and you enable iCloud auto backup on your phone, just know that your seed phrase is stored on your iCloud. So they're recommending that you have strong iCloud passwords, because if not, and people get access to your iCloud, they may have a way to get into your wallet. And this
is that how it went down?
Yeah, so this is following a hacker that was able to get $655,000 by wiping out a MetaMask. And the way they did it was they compromised the iCloud of an individual. In that iCloud was an auto backup of their seed phrase. Then they used that seed phrase to duplicate their account on a different MetaMask, and then got through.
So I didn't think that, like, because your seed phrase isn't like metadata. It's, you know, like, I don't understand how.
I don't see this as an intentional thing, as something that.
This is how I thought it went down in my head after you share the article. Is it tells you flat out, do not screenshot your seed phrase, because that is not a secure backup. I had to screenshot it. I screenshotted it. I printed it out, so it's on a piece of paper. It's in my safe. But if you screenshot it and you have your photos get saved to your iCloud, then essentially your seed phrase is on the fucking iCloud. And if somebody goes through your pictures looking for nudes and sees a bunch of like 12 random words on a sheet, they're like, oh shit, I got this dude's seed phrase, and they can hack into your wallet and take all your shit. That's how I thought it went down.
That's not how it comes out in. So there's some people who really looked into this and did some like in-depth like Twitter threads about it, as well as the MetaMask that came out and said it. And no, they flat out said that your MetaMask credentials or your MetaMask seed phrase is stored on your iCloud automatically.
Well, if you
have it as set up as auto backup.
I've never turned on my iCloud for this specific reason, because I just don't trust all my phone shit going up into the air for whoever. I mean, how many celebrity news got leaked? I ain't got one of them camera rolls you could just scroll through, let's put it like that. So I don't want any of my shit getting backed up in some imaginary cloud and have people hacking that shit. Like, so I've never been one for like important backup data just being stored in off, you know, cloud services.
Yeah, so there's a couple different ways that this was happening. The main one that lost like 650,000, like they had their iCloud hacked into through a phishing scam where they called the individual from a number that registered as Apple. The person called Apple back, called them back. They talked to them saying that there was a problem with their account, asked them to verify who they were by saying that they were going to send them a one-time use passcode. Well, really what they were doing was that while they were on the phone with them, they were trying to reset the person's password, which required a two-factor authentication. So that person was sent the passcode, then gave it to the person on the phone, who then used it to change their password and then log into iCloud and drain their MetaMask while on the phone with them. So it's an old, you know, kind of phishing scam that happened for iCloud, but they're doing it intentionally to Apple devices and Apple individuals who are known to have crypto. They're targeting individuals because they can find their MetaMask seed phrase on their iCloud. So if you own an Apple and you have an auto backup of iCloud, just make sure you have two-factor authentication and never give an authentication key to anybody over the phone. Like
anybody,
Apple, I promise
ever.
You, doesn't need it. Like ever. Anybody, they don't, they're not going to give it to you.
Ever.
You know, basic principles there. But even if you don't have two-factor authentication put on, you could just get hacked outright by just somebody breaking your password or whatever else. So there's, make sure you have two-factor authentication. Don't use iCloud auto backup for MetaMask.
PSA
over.
Yeah, I don't know how we're at a point still where, like, it amazes me that phishing scams, like, really work. Like, I don't even want to say this out loud, but like I almost would like to enter into like a phishing scam contest of some sort where like you got 30 days to try to get me. If you get me, you get me. If you can't, then I win a t-shirt or some shit. But like, I'm telling you right now, you could tell me that, you know, one of my kids is dying on the table right now and we need your password to blah, blah, blah. And you ain't getting it from me. Like, ain't nobody getting a guy and clicking no link like that ever comes to my phone. I could miss out on all kinds of shit and I'll be perfectly okay with this, that, because I'm never clicking anything. I'm never giving anybody a password. Like, you will have to pry it from my dead hands. Like, there's no situation where I would ever just randomly believe so-and-so. Like, I want to say somebody called me the other day and asked me to verify my address. I was like, well, if you got my address, you should have in front of you. Why you need me to tell it? And they're like, sir, we need you to, for your identification. We need to know your address. I said, bitch, I ain't giving you my address. Like,
you said, not today, scammers. And you hung up on them.
She was really salty about it. But I'm like, bitch, I ain't giving you my address. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. Like, I don't know who you are. I don't know what the fuck this is about. You ain't getting my fucking address.
Yeah, no, some of the phishing scams, I think, are very sophisticated, and they're harder to root out.
I can't think of a situation where I don't go, I don't know. I don't think you can tell me anything where I'm not going to be like 100% skeptical of anybody. You know, like, I don't care.
I still think if you have 600 grand worth of crypto and it's not in a hardware wallet, I don't know what you're doing with your life. Like, how are you this smart in crypto that you've amassed this level of wealth in cryptocurrency, but you're too lazy to just take the extra step and put it in a hardware wallet?
Because people like Jeff Bezos have kids, and those kids have fucking MetaMask wallets, and that 650 grand don't mean shit to that kid. Like, there are people out there in the world I watched those Instagram reels and TikToks of that Hey Daniel, you know, where he pulls up to the really nice, you ever see those?
Like, no,
there's people listening to the podcast that know who Hey Daniel is. So a random like Ferrari will pull up and the kid will walk up and be like, hey, this is a really nice car. What do you do? And he asks everyone what they do. Bro, you know how many times he rolls up and it's just some OnlyFans chick driving around in a Lamborghini? Like, the amount of people out there with stupid money, like, it's mind-boggling. Like, I get mad thinking about it. I really do. So, like, for people to have 600 G's sitting in a crypto wallet, I could believe it. 100% I believe it. Some fucking TikToker that just gets a bunch of money for making some stupid video, and he says, I'm gonna buy some bitcoins and I'm just gonna have them on my phone to show bitches I got bitcoins. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, of course those dudes get hacked and they lose 600 G's and we're like, oh my god, how do you have so much money in crypto and how do you get it stolen? Because you're a tiny little shit. Like, 100% that's how it happens. 100%.
Well, anyway, PSA: adjust your settings. Make sure you know what you're doing. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about a metaverse company that is offering immortality. And they have this live forever mode on this metaverse game, Somnium Space. And they're trying to develop a way to continue to talk to your loved ones even after they're dead. And I immediately thought about Upload. I don't know if you've seen Upload.
I watch it.
Yeah, I like the show. I immediately thought of Upload. But this one is... it's actually a really interesting concept. At first, I started reading it with a healthy dose of like skepticism of what are some crazy idiots doing on the internet. In the end, like, it just talks about this individual whose father was diagnosed with cancer, lost his dad, and just talk about how like, oh, it would just be nice to hear his dad's voice or to continue to play games or do things, and came up with this concept where it's like, essentially you can play these games, control your character in the game. If you set it to this live forever mode, then it'll capture the way your character moves. It'll capture you speaking when you talk within the game and everything else. And then essentially after you die or in that live forever mode, your character with your voice and the way you interacted essentially like becomes like an NPC inside this game. And honestly, I think it's great. Like, you know, we lost our dad. And if my dad was in a video game that I'm playing and looking at me and be like, hey, dummy, where you going? Like, I would fucking love it. You know what I mean? Like, it would
chucking cheeseburgers at you.
It would bring a smile on my face no matter when I saw it. If that was just built into just some innocuous, like, random part of a game I was playing.
Well, there's that old, like, Tumblr post or Reddit post where, like, some kid hooked up an old system, booted up like a racing game, and the ghost car was his dad's best trial. And even if he beat the car, he would stop at the finish line, let the ghost pass him, so he would never erase his dad's, you know, lap. You know, so it's an even crazier version of that. Which, I mean, you think that they don't need that much data to compile that. Like, you know, you sign up for the metaverse, you talk and you interact for like a month. Maybe after a month they have like a list of like 50 words they need you to say to just complete the complete profile. Like, we need you to say kumquat. We need you to say, like, you know, we need a few more syllables. But then after that, yeah, you're like, they can make it do whatever they want. And we both lost our dad at a really young age, so he's been gone for a while. So if I could log into VR and even just hear him talk about random bot shit that I know he would never talk about, I don't care. I'd take it, man. I would.
Yeah, so it's an interesting concept. Again, the Somnium space. I'm going to actually dig deeper into it and look into it and just see how they're building into the metaverse. Like, I don't know what NFTs or what properties or what they're selling as far as
I didn't send the article to you today because I just read it today, but Musk is unveiling more of the Tesla robots. And they had a big conversation of downloading your personality memories, like actually downloading memories, actual memories into this robot so that you can have the like a same thing live forever mode. But instead of in the metaverse, I'm a fucking robot. like he was just on a podcast talking about this, like with Neuralink and all the things that they think they're going to be able to do with that. That you're going to be able to upload yourself into a robot and be a real life NPC.
We'll see about that. That creeps me out way more than this.
Yeah, because this is just like building an online profile and then making an NPC through it. Like, no, that robot is going to be able to like have actual memories and like be like, hey, remember that one time? And you're just like, yeah, I do, motherfucker. Like, I don't remember old metal hands being there, motherfucker.
Yeah, I could do without that one. So I'll look deeper into the Somnium and I'll pretend like, yeah, the sentient robots are still far, far away.
Nope. They're right around the corner, man. There's too many really lonely dudes that want a waifu for there not to be fucking robots, bro.
All right. Well, you talk about Musk, might as well talk about the next topic, which is just another update. Third week in a row, we got things to talk about with Musk and this damn Twitter.
I learned what this is, though, yesterday. I did learn what this poison pill thing is yesterday.
All right. Enlighten us here. So Twitter, the headline is essentially that, you know, Twitter, I guess let's unwind it to 3 weeks ago and for anybody who's been under a rock and hasn't paid attention. But yeah, Elon Musk bought nearly 10% of the total stake of Twitter in a massive share buy. And then, as everybody was speculating what he was going to do and take a board seat, he decided not to take a board seat and then offer them a letter filed with the SEC to purchase it at a generous offer based off of like the current share price, a very generous offer to essentially show that he was serious, that for another $43 billion, whatever else, that he was going to buy Twitter outright and take it as a private company in a protection of free speech. And so Twitter is not taking that offer. And in an attempt to avoid Elon in a hostile takeover, they've adopted this poison pill. And now here's your TED talk on poison pill.
Yes. So from my understanding, the poison pill essentially is the minute that Musk starts to try to buy or offers them that 54 and shareholders start to maybe like want to go that route, that the board will just the next day release millions of more shares of Twitter into the market, therefore diluting the stock, but making it so that his $54 per share offer is now an astronomical number. That's kind of the simple version of how what I got from it when I read the story into about from.
All right, you guess is as good as my. I thought it
wasn't
was
a guess. It was an educated guess. Right, like,
your,
it was, like, I'm not guessing. Like
on this is as good as I thought. The poison pill was where they don't necessarily release new stock, but what they do is they at a discounted rate give it to other shareholders that are other significant shareholders in order to pad the ownership percentage of certain individuals in order to outweigh Musk. So I didn't think it was a dilution of the stock, but it was a it was just essentially a discounted redistribution to other individuals.
But I don't know how that would work, because then you're just giving what, free stock to major shareholders? Like, that can't be.
Yeah, like the Saudi prince who turned it down in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys want to take a deep dive down this Twitter rabbit hole? Like it's starting to get really messed up because of this. You find out who are some of the major investors in Twitter. And it's like BlackRock, the Saudis, the Saudi kingdom. Like, and it's not like, you know, everyone's talking about free speech in the public square. You know, one of the major investors just happened to behead a Wall Street Journal journalist, like in the middle of the day, just threw this dude in a car and severed him to pieces on the ride to the airport. And they're running the United States, you know, quote unquote public square. Like this is like some really kind of crazy stuff. And like, I don't know if like, was this his plan the whole time? Like, was he just trying to like, I was never going to buy it. I don't even care about it. I just knew the minute I did this, it was going to just, you know, rattle that bee's nest and all kinds of shit was just going to start falling out.
Yeah, that's probably what it would turn out to be is just, yeah, a way to, he's just having fun. He's just doing what Elon does. And he's getting all the benefit of rattling Twitter without having to spend actually $43 billion to buy it. So I guess this is probably just a win for him. And, you know, for whatever the financial implications and stuff are, you know, it's just more Elon stuff. It's just more, you know, manipulation of tech. And I've seen so much debate. There's so much debate on whether this is a good thing. Elon's approach towards this is a good thing or not. It's like, I don't know either. Like, who knows what Elon would do if he ever got a hold of Twitter? And
I do find it odd how many people like care about who owns Twitter now. Like it like it's really weird that the reactions this has had. Like, a lot of people are like so against it. A lot of people are so for it. And like it's an app that lets you post statuses. Like it's so weird to me, like the social investment that people have into this app.
It is very weird to me that like this is the ground to fight on for free speech. I'm all for free speech, right? Like, all for it. Love it. It's great. But how did we get to a point where the richest man in the world has to spend $43 billion to protect free speech by buying a micro blogging website? I just don't, like, it doesn't, like, I don't, that, to me, that just isn't, like, free speech isn't dead just because Twitter algorithm marginalizes some people or deletes out some tweets or whatever. Like, I get it. Like, yeah, we don't want to see those things in abundance, and we don't want to see, but it's Twitter. Like, it's not, free speech isn't over because Twitter algorithm.
Well, like, so as much as I do agree with you, the devil's advocate side of me is saying that in the days of corporate monopolization, where you have a Facebook just buys an Instagram so it doesn't have to compete with it, you know, it's not like it's easy to start another Twitter. So when public discourse is held basically on three apps that will buy any other app that tries to compete with it and squash it, we do kind of need to have somewhat of concern of who controls the flow of information in this country. Like,
sure,
if we can enforce antitrust laws, I think it fixes itself, and we don't need.
Yeah, I don't think Twitter would be rolled up in any of that antitrust stuff, right? They're not actually a part of that buying up everybody model. Like, honestly, for the most part, Jack Dorsey was considered a completely ineffective CEO and a part-time CEO, as he spent more time on Square than Twitter and didn't do anything with Twitter forever, and took forever to monetize it and do anything with it. And he left it pretty much alone for a very long time. Like, they aren't the big monopoly. So I don't know. I just didn't think for $43 billion.
Well, so Dorsey's gone, and the new CEO right. has gone on record and said flat out that they don't care about free speech. Like, they more care about, you know, their brand and making a space that they want to have. Like, he's come out and flat out and said Twitter is not beholden to the First Amendment.
He's not wrong.
Which he's not wrong. But at the same time, like I said, when it's that hard to come up with an alternate space to, you know, get your platform out, get information out, it's a problem. Like, I don't know how to solve it. I don't want government really to have to solve it, like, because they don't solve shit, you know. But it is a problem when, you know, private companies get to basically say, you know, what you have to say doesn't matter, your business doesn't matter, whatever you're trying to achieve, you know, in a social kind of public space, we don't like it, so now it doesn't matter. That's a lot of control for people to have. You know, us even as podcasters, if we don't have outlets to put our information out, you know, put our show out, like, is that the world we want to live in? Like, where somebody could say, like, your nerd show isn't good enough, so fuck you guys, stop doing it. We're not going to give you a chance to even compete.
I mean, I get all that. I just think, again, I just don't understand why Twitter is the battleground here.
And I don't understand.
It would be difficult, sure, to maybe compete. But at the same point in time, if Elon took $1 billion of that $43 billion he's willing to pledge, and he just came up with his own Twitter-like platform called fucking, I don't know, Doji Chats or whatever he wants, he would have half a billion people on it in the first week.
So, but I don't think so, because other people have tried to do this. There's Parler, which isn't doing shit. There's, like, other conservatives have tried to make another space.
Don't underestimate Elon and the pull that he has in just by opening it up. And maybe people, like, again, people would sign up for it. Maybe they don't use it. And that would be the tough thing, is then to convince enough people to be on there to have it be a meaningful place that people use it. But
you have to admit, though, that the like, some of the stuff that goes on at these places, it does feel a bit Orwellian. Like, there are times like that. You know, who decides what's misinformation and who decides what's facts is kind of important in our public squares. So I don't know, man. I don't know the answer. I just think it's really weird that this fucking app that came out God knows how long ago, that people were just on my way to get some coffee, you know, ends up turning into an app that starts, you know, revolutions in the Middle East. And like, it's just, it's the world is weird. The world is weird.
It absolutely is. All right, let's get off this topic. Let's jump to our last little segment here. We got just one quick space news, and that just comes from the U.S. military this week confirmed that an interstellar meteor did collide with Earth. And this is not recent. It took place back in 2014. But this crash landing of a meteor that came through, I think they've now just finally tested it and gotten pretty conclusive evidence that this rock originated somewhere outside of our solar system, making this the first known interstellar meteor.
Yeah, so that's the big deal about it. It's not that we get hit by meteors all the time, though. It's how far this one came from. And you know, if we don't get, like, a new element out of it, I just, like, I'm not that impressed. You know, you mean to tell me that deep in deep fucking space, we don't have some crazy new metals and shit that we can't, you know, extrapolate from this shit? I'd be a little disappointed.
Yeah, but, you know, I guess it's taken a while for this to get peer-reviewed and get figured out. And the writer of this journal had some back and forth. But now, for the first time, United States Space Force, right? Space Force getting in the mix here. They assisted in reviewing.
Give them something to do, man. Give them something to do.
They assisted, and in it, they agreed and confirmed that all the like the velocity estimates and the trajectory that this thing came from, and all the data that they could sample and look at, that they confirmed the findings, and now gave credit to this great nerd who wrote this journal that this is the first interstellar or known interstellar meteor. So either way, interesting to see. You know, and anytime I guess you can give a shout out to the Space Force, it's a win.
I was just thinking, like, there's gonna come a time when we're really old men, and like being on the Space Force is gonna be like a really noble achievement, and like people are gonna be proud of it and everything, and we're still gonna laugh at it like it's a fart joke.
our grandkids
gonna sign up for the Space Force and get on the Space Force, and we're like, you're on the fucking space. I can't take you seriously. But you know how hard it was to get here? I would work really hard, and like this is a big achievement. Like, and ever all his peers are gonna be like, no, really, like, really, he achieved something. I'm just like, this fucking kid.
Be like, well, you should have joined the Merchant Marines. Could have been a coastie. You could have done something with your life.
I was going to say, you're the non-atmospheric Coast Guard. Go sit down.
Well, that's it.
200.
Episode 200.
In the books.
Done. Over. And I appreciate you spending this last 50 minutes and giving us a 5-star rating on Spotify, because I know that you wouldn't do us dirty like that and listen this whole damn time and not take 2 seconds and press that button.
And if this is your first episode, you got quite a little bit of backlog to get through. You might want to know our thoughts on that movie that came out 3 years ago.
But in the meantime, again, always join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join us over in the group there. Engage in some conversations. Have a few debates. Then join us again next week for episode 201 and beyond as we continue churning these things out for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I'm here for it. I ain't going nowhere. I think it's at this point a personal challenge to see which one of us two dickheads taps out first.
It'll be me. Again, he's on autopilot. All right. Until next week, nerds.
See you next week, guys.